This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. HeartWise Ministries has long maintained that there's a powerful connection between the body and the mind, between the physical and the mental. Just how powerful that connection is was revealed in an astonishing way not too long ago, and you're about to hear how it happened. Our guest today is Julianne Aranda. She is a registered dietitian, and what she saw and experienced is beyond amazing. Julianne, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go back a few years. When did you first get connected with a program that was going to do something astonishing, bring health and healing to those in prison? Tell us about that.
I was working up at Weimar Institute at the time. I'm thinking it was around 1998. Mm-hmm. I had actually been in serious prayer on the Friday before I was approached, just asking the Lord to tell me, what do you want me to do? What's the direction for my life? And 2 days later, the president of the institution walked up to me as I was working on a Sunday morning and said, Julianne, I would like to talk to you about an opportunity that I think you would be perfect for. He said, a businessman down in Bakersfield, California, named Terry Moreland, is going to build a prison, and he's going to own it, and he wants to pattern it after the New Start program. And said, he called up here and said, I would like to have a dietitian help me, you know, get a program going. I want it to be vegan, vegetarian. I want to help these inmates be healthy on the inside, and I want to come up with a program that's going to really, truly rehabilitate them. And so I'm calling Weimar for help. I do believe you have the skills that he's looking for. I had been working at Weimar for about a year. I had worked at Heartland Institute for about 4 years, had a lot of experience in doing what we would call therapeutic vegan vegetarian meal planning and cooking. I'd worked at the lifestyle centers. I'd also cooked in the big kitchens, especially at Weimar. We were feeding 300 people a day.
Yes.
And so I thought, how can I say no to this? I've been praying. I mean, I don't know what I'd be doing. And so, you know, I connected with Terry, found out what he was wanting to have happen. And so there was no pattern for this. This had never been done before. So I worked by myself at Weimar, creating menus, coming up with menu cycles, trying to create recipes that could feed approximately 500 men, quantifying recipes, and searching for purveyors who could provide this kind of food on a level that we would need down in that area. And then I went down there.
Are we talking about a private prison here?
We are talking about a private prison, and I had never heard of such a thing. But in the late 80s, private prisons really got started. They are built and operated by businesses or corporations. They are for profit. They are built according to state standards. They are operated according to state regulations. And what these businesses will do with the prisons that they own is to sign a contract with the state for a certain length of time, and then they will bid, because it's a competitive business, to be able to house an inmate for a certain amount of dollars per month. And when they get the contract, that's what the state will do, is reimburse that company per inmate per month.
So the cost of food would be included in that cost then?
Every last cost is included in that bid per inmate for profit. But Terry did not want to keep the profit. That's where his mission, and I believe his inspiration from God, came, that he saw as he would build other prisons for the state, he's a big building contractor, that the door of recidivism in the state of California, meaning it's like a revolving door. Inmates get paroled, and then they violate and come back. And that door was constantly revolving. And, you know, who's paying for this?
Yeah.
Taxpayers. And who's really being helped by this? Not many. If you've ever had a chance to work in a prison or do Bible studies in a prison, it's very common knowledge that if someone who goes in who's first-time offender, they may go in fairly innocent, but you spend any amount of time in a prison and you can really come out learning how to be a better criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So Terry wanted to be able to stop this revolving door. And so he came up with this notion of New Start, the New Start program.
Now, the New Start program, of course, is a health program and a diet program, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let me make something clear here. This was new. This was not usually done. I mean, contractors to build prisons, that was okay. But was the idea of a New Start healthy diet built into his bid at the time?
Yes.
So the government, when they signed off on this thing, signed off on the fact that he was going to build a prison, a for-profit prison, but also that in this prison there was going to be a different diet that was different from any other prison known at that time. Am I right?
That's correct. And initially the state of California, had agreed that his whole prison, and the prison was designed to hold 550 men, mm-hmm. that the whole prison was going to be a vegan vegetarian prison with this New Start program. And that was the direction that we were working towards until about a month before we were supposed to open.
Mm-hmm. What happened then?
That's when the state stepped in and said, you know, we don't think this is a good idea. You know, inmates shouldn't be forced to have to accept a program. And so they mandated that half of the prison be a standard CDC, which stands for California Department of Corrections, standard program with a standard meal, that they wouldn't have to choose the New Start program. That actually threw a real monkey wrench into our operations and delayed us from opening for a little bit because we hadn't planned anything like that. What happened is we got everything like that ready to go, and the prison, the main body of the prison was in the center, and then on either side were two different units with four different dormitories. This was a medium-level correctional facility. There's like low, medium, and high levels of correction facilities. This was a medium level. And so they were dormitory styles. Unit 1 was going to be the New Start program, and Unit 2 was the standard program. So when the inmates would arrive, they would be sent to an orientation within 24 to 48 hours explaining what their options were and that they could choose which side that they wanted to go on, whether they wanted the New Start side or standard program side.
So you were asking these men that were coming in here to not only spend some time in this prison, but giving them the choice of what kind of diet they wanted. What type of response did you have? It would seem to me that, you know, drop my hamburgers, drop my steak. I'm not about to do that. What was your response like?
First of all, they never get steak in prison.
Okay. All right.
As they would go to the orientation, let me tell you, the vegetarian component was the biggest thorn in their flesh. Mm. When you're in a men's prison, it is very important to be macho, to be very strong, to be very male, masculine. So this whole concept of the vegetarian program was the least desirable. Mm. But it was explained to them. I will just tell you all the perks. I'm not sure in what order they were presented. But the understanding for them was that the owner really wanted them to have a true opportunity at changing their lives from the inside out. In a medium correctional facility, many of the offenses are drug-related.
Yes.
And so inmates would often come in, you know, being addicted to drugs, and so Terry wanted to rebuild them from the inside out. So the perks, the first one being the most awful, being vegan, vegetarian, and then there was a requirement that they attend weekly Bible studies and church attendance, and Mr. Moreland sent invitations to all church denominations, whether they were Christian or not, in the local area up in the high desert of California, inviting them to participate with this prison program to come in and do Bible studies and give church services. So it wasn't just geared specifically to Seventh-day Adventists. Mm-hmm. He had a full-time chaplain and Bible worker on campus. That's never done. Yeah. There was a full-time therapist who led out in support programs. That is never done. The inmates got to make videos to send to their families. You know, not all inmates are going to be housed necessarily at a prison closest to where they live. Mm-hmm. And throughout their stay, at times, they just might be transferred. So sometimes, or oftentimes, relatives, family, children, you know, they can't come visit their dad or their son. And so the inmates were allowed to make videos to send to their families. And then in turn, after their families saw their dad, son, husband, they could tape over that video and then send it back to the man who sent it to them. Of course, all of these videos were screened before they were sent out and screened before, you know, they were actually allowed for the inmate to see. And, you know, the person that was in charge of that said it was very powerful to see these videos of the messages coming back to these men, their children, talking to their dad, showing them pictures or their trophies or things. She said it was a very humbling experience to see these videos. Also, through faithful participation and good behavior, because you just couldn't live on the New Start site and get in trouble, towards the end of their incarceration period, there were some pretty interesting things that were available to them. They could have visible tattoos removed. Visible meaning off of their faces and necks that, you know, is above the collar line, or especially any off of the hands. I have seen some of the most interesting tattoo work that it's like, why do you have that on your face? You're going to have it for the rest of your life. Yes. So having those tattoos removed would be very helpful. You know, if you've changed your life and you're trying to get out there and get a job, to have a face that doesn't look so frightening.
Yes.
Also, because of poor health and especially drug addiction, bad teeth, missing teeth were often problems. And actually, your smile says a lot about yourself and gives you this sense of self-confidence. And so they also had the opportunity to have their six upper and lower teeth fixed or dentures or something put in place so that when they were interviewing for jobs, they could flash a smile that would give them confidence. So we also had something that other prisons didn't have, which was a full-time dentist. Mm-hmm. This profit that other corporations would keep, you have to understand where all of this profit went to.
Yes. In other words, the owner, Terry Moreland, was not keeping the profits. He was putting it right back into the lives of these inmates, right?
That's exactly correct. He actually had people assigned to helping inmates with job placements when they were paroled. You know, having a record makes it very difficult to get jobs. So that was quite a huge perk for the inmates. Also, for the inmates that were baptized as Seventh-day Adventists, Terry then reached out to Seventh-day Adventist churches that these inmates might be paroled to in their area, asking if they would be willing to be a spiritual support for these men as if they were paroled into the area that, you know, these churches were. So this was quite a program.
Really?
So the inmates said yes because of the perks, but not because of the vegetarian program.
That makes sense. Well, I'm going to stop you right now, Julianne. We want to take a short break. And when we come back, more with Julianne Aranda. This is an amazing story. And what happened when these choices were made? We'll stick with you, listener. This is an important stuff. So please stay right where you are. We'll be right back with Julianne. So stay tuned.
I'd like to think that one day, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a list of people. People like Jared and Susan, who were introduced to Jesus because of something we said. Or maybe it was as simple as a passing smile. But these people will look into their past and be able to say, "I'm here because of you." Recently, you may have heard that Heartwise Ministries has begun spreading the gospel to the young, the old, the sick, and the healthy. We want to take this type of medical programming to the non-believer and the person who has closed themselves off to traditional forms of outreach. If you believe as we do and want to support Heartwise so that together we can count more names on the Tree of Life, please consider donating today at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "In a world where it's tough to know who or what to believe, I found the answer. I discovered that the Bible provides guidelines on the prevention and treatment of disease. When applied, these principles change the chemistry, much like a pill or procedure, but without the side effects, and address the cause of the problem. Conversely, when these biblical principles are violated, we damage the body's fabric. I want my children to be healthy and make good decisions because I love them and want them to be happy. God gives us suggestions in the Bible for the same reason. The Creator is the real master physician, the one I want to listen to first." Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit heartwiseministries.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Julianne Aranda. She is a registered dietitian, and she was involved with a program that was introduced in a prison in Southern California that invited inmates coming in to become vegan. And there were other perks involved, cosmetic perks for their face, tattoo removal, and for their teeth, and the ability to show videos back and forth with their families and whatnot, all supervised, of course. Okay, Julianne, pick it up from there. What happened next, and how were you involved?
As the program rolled out and inmates were choosing the New Start side, of course they were going to be experiencing a food program that they had never experienced before. And we need to understand that prisons, whether they're for profit or not, run on very tight budgets. And so the meal cost was always a huge factor. Inmates on both sides of the prison while they were at Maranatha Corrections all stated that for the first time ever in their incarcerated lives, because many of them had been in prisons for a long time, had said this was the first time they would ever go through the chow line and get full. So whether they were on the New Start side or the standard side, they were fed. Terry, he made even a rule for the standard side, no beef, no pork. But what happened was the meal cost for the standard California, I'm going to call it CDC, just okay, to keep sure. It simple, right. Was 38 cents a meal. And for the vegetarian side, it was 55 cents a meal. And that number was actually unheard of. Mm. So, you know, the costs were really high. But I will say this, if you've ever eaten at Weimar, you know, the food is very tasty and beautifully prepared. We have to understand that to keep costs down, you actually have to put inmates to work. And so it's one thing to pay a free staff $15 an hour to come in and be the lead chef. Yes. Or it's another thing to pay an inmate 25 cents an hour to be the lead chef. Mm-hmm. So the kitchens were supervised by free staff, you know, people like myself, mm-hmm. You know, and other people with kitchen experience. But 99% of the work was done by inmates. Mm-hmm. And so only the lead cook would get paid 25 cents an hour. The you know, payment per hour dropped drastically. Many of the inmates were getting paid 15 or 11 cents an hour. Mm-hmm. So they did the cooking and they had the recipes. Of course, did they all have skill to be in the kitchen? No. But these men want to work because in the correctional system, at least in the state of California, if you're working, you get your time cut in half a day for a day. So every day you work, you get a day cut off the end of your sentence. Mm-hmm. So these men would come in and do the cooking. I'd have the recipes written for them. And, of course, they're based on measurements. And when you cook in quantity, you actually really do need to measure.
Sure.
They didn't always like to measure. They kind of felt like they were chefs and they knew what they were doing when they really didn't have a clue. So, consequently,
typical males, what can I say?
They would cook. And initially, you know, I did all the training, but I couldn't keep training because in a medium correctional facility, they really aren't in there for long. Usually the average sentence time would be about a year. The longest would be 18 months. So we really did even have a revolving door for parole times. So, you know, the food would all be cooked by inmates and, you know, they would be put in hot boxes that would be locked, but the whole cooking process was nothing I had ever experienced. It was a culture shock for me. You have to understand, I had worked at Weimar,
yes.
I had worked at Heartland Institute, you know, in these different very conservative Christian backgrounds, and all of a sudden I'm in a prison. So to work in a kitchen in a prison, everything is locked.
Mm-hmm.
So all the refrigerators and freezers are locked. All the food is locked in the storage room.
Mm.
All the utensils are double locked. We actually had a security kitchen with glass windows. We called it the bubble. And to get into the bubble, you actually had to have a lock to get into that. But once you got into the bubble, then we had securely locked all the utensils. And then we had knives on 4-foot steel cables with padlocks. And so you had to actually check every last thing out and chit it out and document it in a book and, you know, get everything out. And you know what would happen 5 times during the course of the day? There would be a count. And all the utensils, all the cups and all the knives and all the spoons and spatulas, every last thing would have to go back to the bubble and be recounted and then rechitted, because working in a kitchen is where anything could be stolen and they're used as weapons. So it was a grueling process to try and cook in a kitchen like this to begin with.
Well, Juliana, our time has flown by on this first program. I want to continue this conversation next time on HeartWise. And I just want to invite you, listener, to tune in next time, because what happened next? What happened when this program was in place and these inmates began cycling through this is going to take your breath away, literally. So we'll talk about that more on our next program. Julianne, can I have you come back next time to talk more about this?
Absolutely. There's amazing stories.
All right. That'll be next time on HeartWise. And until then, this is Charles Mills along with Julianne Aranda, inviting you to remain HeartWise. See you soon. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.